You're listening to Trucking Questions from the Audio Road with Kevin Rutherford. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. You can ask questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, tax, technology, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the Audio Road.
Good evening, everyone. This is Rico Muhammad on the Rates and Lanes podcast. This podcast focuses specifically on dealing with rate trends, lanes, getting direct customers, and we basically discuss those issues strictly related to rates and lanes. So with that said, we got a few callers on the line, and tonight's show is strictly going to be based around caller interaction. So if you have any questions, any concerns, anything that we may be able to help you out with, assist you with, give you some more information on, please hit the number one and get on board so we can get to your calls and screen you in and get you ready to come on the air to ask your question. And we're going to start off tonight in our normal fashion. We normally address especially with the fruits and vegetables DAT report, truck market report. We're going to focus primarily on that right now because we're coming to we're wrapping up the end of the produce season, so we're going to talk about that real briefly, and then we're going to jump right over into the DAT trend lines for this week. And right now, the latest fruit and vegetable truck market report, we are showing several markets with a nice shortage going on. The San Joaquin Valley in California is showing a shortage. San Luis Valley, Colorado. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong line. Central and North Florida. Now, these reports right here, as far as Florida is concerned, we got to be really careful when dealing with Florida right now about this time of the year. A lot of the produce and stuff has come out of Florida, and you got to be really careful about, and that's another reason why we want to definitely get some more interaction from people that are actually got boots on the ground. We want to have real-time reports from people that are actually doing this. I was down in Florida last week and barely came out of there with my shirt. I was under a really terrible load, but we won't dwell on that. But right now, according to the fruit and vegetable market report, where we are showing that Central and North Florida is still a pretty good area. There's some potatoes and there's some melons and stuff coming out of the northern part of Florida, but Central and South Florida is getting to be pretty much back to a dead zone again. We actually have fruits. We have for the first time in South Carolina has made its debut onto the fruit and vegetable market report for melons and tomatoes. Normally, the melons and tomatoes are coming out of the lower part of the South Carolina area, down there like Bamberg, Charleston, the low country. Down towards that way, it's pretty good market for those items. And eastern North Carolina is still showing a shortage. Southern New Mexico is showing a shortage. And we're starting to move over into a different category with slight shortages. And we're starting to see slight shortages going on the Mexico crossing in Texas, which means that area is starting to peter down a little bit. It's still some pretty good demand. When I was looking at some reports earlier in the week, there's still some pretty good demand going on in those areas. But so those areas that we talked about as far as the shortages and the slight shortages might be a pretty good area if you got a reefer or a dry box that you can get a Bennett dry box. Might be a pretty good area to focus on and get some pretty good rates coming out of those areas. Pretty much everything else as far as the USDA truck market report has everything, all the other areas are showing an adequate truck availability, and the San Luis Valley in Colorado is actually showing a surplus right now, so you probably don't want to be in an area showing a surplus because that's bad for you, good for the shippers. So that's wrapping up the USDA truck market report. We're going to jump right over into the rates for the DAT trend lines report that came out today. And for the week of the 15th through the 21st, the spot market freight trends were mixed last week. Low volume slipped, but national averages rates were at all-time highs. Van rates remain elevated in the southeast, and Texas rates are rising amid uncertainty about West Coast port strike. That's something right there that I might need to go do some more research on. I've been kind of out of the loop a little bit. I hadn't heard anything about a West Coast port strike. So for the guys that go out to California or something like that, that should be something that also sends your antennas up and something that you might want to mix into your negotiating tactics when you're dealing with the rates. So we're going to jump into the different segments. The U.S. dry van demand, the ratio slipped 5.7% to 4.0%. Load availability dipped 2.4% for vans last week, and capacity added 3.5%, resulting in the 5.7% drop in the national load-to-truck ratio from 4.2 to 4.0 loads per truck, indicates a slight easing in the spot freight market for vans. Now we're going to jump over into the rates for vans. And right now, national averages for line haul hits around $1.60. That's the line haul rate. Now you remember when you're talking about the average fuel surcharge is right around 48 cents. So that pushes that 168 line haul average up to about 208 a mile when you add in the 48 cents fuel surcharge. So for the Northeast, that corridor is showing averaging $1.87. Moving down into the Mid-Atlantic and the Southeast is showing a $2.40 as far as that region. The Midwest is showing $2.10. And the Central South showing about $2.08, and out west showing about $2.51 a mile. All of these with dry van rates. Looking at the U.S. the flatbed demand, the ratio dipped. Flatbed load availability dropped 3.9% last week, and capacity increased 3.5% for a 7.2% decline in the load-to-truck ratio. It dropped from 48.5 to 48.0 loads per truck, which is still outstanding. It's still showing a really, really high demand for flatbeds just about anywhere in the United States right now. The flatbed rates, as far as regions are concerned, we're going to start out in the northeastern corridor at $3.61. The line haul rate is showing a $2.44 in that market, but that national average right now in the Northeast is $3.61. I'm sorry, and then the Southeast is showing $2.74. Midwest is showing $3.23. South Central United States is showing 2.9%. I mean, I'm sorry, $2.97, and $2.09 is out west. And we're going to jump over into the reefer demand. U.S. reefer demand for the week of 15th through the 21st. Load availability dipped another 1.1%, and truck load availability added 1.6% for reefers last week. This resulted in a load-to-truck ratio decline of a mere 2.5% from 11.1 to 10.8. So it's still showing, the map that I'm looking at right now, still showing pretty good availability, especially in the lower region of the United States, mostly southeast, central, and looks like Arizona is really starting to pick up. Now, as far as rates are concerned, in the northeast corridor, the rates in that area seem to be averaging out $2.27 per mile. Back down into the Mid-Atlantic and Southeast is $2.37 a mile. Midwest is showing $2.58 per mile. The central southern part of the United States is showing a $2.28 average per mile. And out west, it's showing $2.62 per mile. So those are the reports that I am showing right now for those relative markets. see we got a couple of callers on the line. And we're going to wait until I got my daughter helping me out tonight, ladies and gentlemen. She's going to be screening your phone calls for us. So say hello to Miss Ayanna for me. And as soon as we get some of these guys screened through and picked up, we'll get right to your calls. We want to know, like I said, we really want to know, what are you guys seeing out there in the marketplace? How accurate do you guys feel like the DAT trend lines, how accurate is the USDA truck market report? I think that there is some very good information in these reports, and these reports are free, but I think that through our interaction with one another, we have a way to kind of tweak these reports as the data is coming in on their end, and we can give back real-time feedback as to what we're seeing on our end. And another thing that we need to be doing while we're taking all these things into consideration is we need to be looking at what are we doing with the information that we are getting? How can we best use this? Are we allowing ourselves to get beat up in the market, or do we need to be holding out for a little bit more money? Those are some of the things that we definitely need to be looking at and tapping into. Let's see. I think I know who this fella is. Let's see. Chad, is that you?
Yeah, yes, sir.
All right. I almost forgot about you. I see you made it in, though.
Yes, sir. I just got docked. Can't miss the podcast.
Right.
I love the podcast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Well, Chad, what are you seeing out there this week? What has been your experience this week out here in the real place, the market?
Well, I started off late. I started Monday. I found a load that was taking me to Texas, and I had to bounce like 200 miles to go get it, but really ain't worth talking about because my truck started having problems as I was on my way out there. But that load was coming out to 340 per loaded mile out of Portland, Tennessee, down near pretty close to Houston, a Walmart load, and that was 340 a mile, like 280 something after you include the deadhead that I was going to have to do. But like I said, I got about 60 miles into it and had to turn around and come back. The load I'm getting ready to post right now is Kentucky. I got my truck fixed, and that only cost like $380 to fix it. But it's running fine, and so I got the truck back, and I started looking there toward the end of the day today, and found a load. I had several people calling me. Kentucky's got like a 1.25%, meaning there's just a little bit more freight than there are there's more freight going out than there is coming in right now for Kentucky. And so I posted the truck and came across this load here. It's going up near Indianapolis, picking up in Danville, like 50 miles from my house. It came to load it 260. It's paying $15.85, and loaded it was 267 loaded miles, and that comes out to like $5.93. No, as you were. 232 loaded miles, 683 per mile, and deadhead including the loaded miles comes out to 593. And I played a little trick with this one. I know Indiana's not doing that well. You know, they're around Indianapolis, and I was like, well, you know, this guy wants a quote, and I did like George Heck always says. He always quotes round trip rates. The worst case scenario is that if it turns out to be a round where I have to go all the way back to Kentucky to get something good out of Indiana, and the round trip rate on that would be 342, and so that came out to that's what I'm doing right now. So it's looking good. Georgia right now, it's past three loads per every truck that's in Georgia, and so that's got to be the number one state of all of them, of all the states. The biggest ratio, the biggest demand for trucks right now is Georgia. You can be in Tennessee, but Tennessee's got like two to one. Anyway, that's what I'm seeing. There's some high demand areas, and that whenever you see those type of areas and you can get into those areas, you can really negotiate some good loads.
And just want to preference that is drive van, that is what you were talking about.
Yes, sir.
I see we got quite
yes,
a,
sir.
We got a quite quite a few callers, quite a good bit of participation on the line. Callers, this format of the show tonight is a little bit different than what it normally is. We'll press 1 if you had a question about anything about rates and lanes. We're going to get to you and try to get you in tonight. We're not going to be talking about, you know, we're not Kevin Rutherford. We don't do Kevin Rutherford. Kevin Rutherford is kind of an anomaly. He does his thing really well as far as being able to diagnose problems with trucks and all that stuff over the telephone. I'm not that good. Rates and lanes is kind of more where I fit in, me and Chad fit in, and we're here to help you out and assist you. So I got my co-host online with me now, Chad Bobbitt from Rate Per Mile Masters. And, Chad, we got a question coming in from Quincy White. I know this fellow. Me and this fellow went to school together. So we're going to go to Greenville, South Carolina, and pick up Quincy. Quincy, how can I help you tonight, buddy?
I don't understand why the rates are so funky on your way coming back home.
Well, Quincy, we're here. I think that you are running into the age-old problem of dealing with brokers that are looking at your MC number, knowing where you are based out of, and therefore knowing that that's where you want to go back to, because every broker kind of keeps a record on what it is that you like to do. And that's kind of, me and Chad were having a discussion before about our different tactics in which we negotiate. Chad is a lot more aggressive on his rates because he has authority for all 48 states, and he really doesn't care where he goes. He's holding out, and he really wants to go to another good market, but he's going to hold out for the very best rate. And Chad pulls a drop box, and that's how he's able to get reefer rates with a drop box, because he's beating these guys up on as far as knowing the capacity constraints of the market that he's in. So once you're in a market that has a really tight demand, then it may not be a load going directly to where you want to go to. However, if you're willing to kind of be flexible on where you want to go to, then they are more apt to negotiate. They're going to have to come off that money. But if you're going to a very desirable area, which Greenville, South Carolina, is pretty desirable because it's an easy place to get into and out of, and they know that you want it. If the broker kind of feels like you want to go back there, he may be less apt to open up his checkbook a little bit more. Chad, you got anything you want to add to that?
Yes, I keep a spreadsheet of every load I've done from day one of having my authority, and I use Excel. It's pretty simple. It's something I learned when computers first came, when the internet first came out. And on this Excel spreadsheet, I can put in there, show me all the loads going to Kentucky, and that's where I live at. And I've done this with several different states. Well, those loads that take me back to the house is the lowest paying loads that I do. And the reason why that is because those are my backhaul. Those are backhaul loads for me. Most of the time I'm getting backhaul rates. And when I want to go home, the way I look at it is, time's up. You know, I'm done. I'm ready to get to the house, and I made good money throughout the last 2 weeks or the week, however I was out. And I'm pretty much stomached the idea that I'm going to have to run for, you know, $1.80 or $2 a mile, whatever it comes out to, and to go back to the house. Anytime you take away from going from point A to point B, like if you take away, like I like to say, I'll haul anything and I'll go anywhere. But anytime I take away from that and I say, hey, I'm not going to do anything over 45,000 or over 44,000 pounds. I'm going to only do 30,000 pounds. And if I start doing stuff like that, or I want to go from point A to point B because I like Vegas and I'm going to look for loads and post myself to go from this place to this place, I took away from haul anything, go anywhere. And when you do that, you're going to miss out on the loads that's got the high demand on it. That's all I have to add about it, Rico.
One more thing, Quincy, about that too. The best way for you to circumvent the problem that you're having as far as getting a good rate going back, I feel like, and knowing from talking with you, I feel like what you need to focus on is beginning to negotiate and solicit for direct customers. I know that's a lot easier said than done, but I think what your primary focus is, you're going to have to sit down and really try to figure out what area of the country do you want to go to. And before you start marketing in your hometown of Greenville, South Carolina, market on the other end of your dumbbell. Start marketing. Get you some marketing material as far as postcards or something like that is concerned, and email and mail those out to everybody in that area on the other end of your dumbbell. So we'll take scenario. We'll just say you want to go from Greenville to Birmingham, Alabama. Well, you want to locate all of the businesses that may ship on a dry van that has loads going back to Greenville, South Carolina. And you want to market your rate. Go ahead and put your rate on there. Go ahead and put what it is that you want to make. You know, you want to be effective in pricing your rate reasonably so that you can get a good rate, you know, make sure that you get phone calls. But if you market your rate properly, your rate is going to probably be cheaper than what the broker rate is quoting them anyway. Go ahead and market your rate going back to Greenville, South Carolina, strictly going back to Greenville, South Carolina, and really begin to push on that and see what you can do to get your phone to ring. Start doing that to see what you can do to make people call you versus you calling people. And once your phone starts to ring from people that are seeking your services that are going back to Greenville, South Carolina, then that'll set you apart, and that'll also help as far as increasing your rates on your backhaul. Is there anything else you want to ask on that, or you got any other questions on that?
No, not really. Y'all pretty much covered the bases, which I really already knew. It's just, you know, I just think some of the brokers take advantage of the situation because they're getting paid. You know, they're getting paid when we leave out. They're getting paid when we go and cross and up and down all over the country. You know, I just don't understand, you know, why they try to take a gap out of our money. I mean, we are the ones that's out there doing the work, putting in the hours, turning over the miles, and I just think they shouldn't. I be honest with you, I really don't think that they should know any of our information is in where we're from, because to keep them from doing that to us, as in like knowing where our home state is and all that type of stuff, you know what I'm saying, to keep them from being able to, you know, give us a low ball rate going home or going anywhere really, or going anywhere close to your home, 100 miles or 150 miles away from close to your home.
I understand where you come. I understand your sentiment, but also we have to think about it from the aspect of the broker. The broker did the hard work in going out and getting that customer. And what we got to do is we have the same capacity to do what that broker did. We have to, but you know what I'm saying, a lot of times that we get a little bit complacent, and we just rely too much solely on broker to be able to provide us with the, cut out all the hard work on our end and just make it easy for us at the end of the day. And that's why – Brokering is not really a lot of people think that the guys are just sitting around at home in their underwear just on the telephone doing these things. I mean, brokering is really a difficult job, and these guys do earn their money, but when they it's at the end of the day, it's all negotiating, and he who has the most information always wins. Another tactic that you might want to try, Quincy, and I know you've been dealing with P.H. Robinson on some stuff, you know, from our previous conversation. Go to C.H. Robinson's website. They have a neat little system. Well, C.H. Robinson, you know, any agent can book any load on C.H. Robinson's thing. You don't have to necessarily deal with that particular agent that has that load. And that's one good thing, one of the really good models on C.H. Robinson's thing. Now, go into C.H. Robinson's website and locate the agent in your area. And one day, see if you can't call that agent up or whatever and say, hey, man, you know, I'm a local carrier in the area. Why don't we meet up for lunch and start beginning building a relationship with that agent, with that one particular agent? And whenever you got a C.H. Robinson load, instead of you dealing with O.O. and C.H. Robinson, you can deal specifically with the person that you've already kind of established a relationship with. And once you start doing that, and the only person that you deal with whenever you deal with a C.H. Robinson load is that particular agent, that you know what I'm saying, and investing in that relationship might also help you get better rate. You know what I'm saying? As long as you just kind of develop that relationship, you know what I'm saying? Play the game, do the dance, and do whatever it takes, you know what I'm saying, to kind of find somebody that you can kind of identify with and they can identify with you. And I think that might help you as well.
Well, I appreciate Robinson, you guys. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can go on C.H. Robinson's website, and they have links on there to all of their locations throughout the United States, and they have the phone numbers and everything on there. So you can call up and just speak to somebody and find out what it is and start, you know, trying to develop and build that rapport with somebody in that local office and vice versa for anything, like on your dumbbell. You know, it might be another part of the country that you go to. You know, look up that agency right there in that local area and try to, you know, develop that relationship on both ends.
That's true.
Just try to give a different way, a different perspective of looking at it.
Well, I appreciate you guys' input. Very informative. And look forward to hearing the rest of the show.
All right, Q, thanks for the phone call. All right, let's see. We got Bruce. Bruce calling in from Aiken, South Carolina.
How y'all doing, Mr.
Bruce?
Today?
Oh, we're doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Just here at the house, doing a little relaxing, taking a little home time out before vacation. And
ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. My question is, I'm currently leased to a company right now. I'm in the finishing stages of getting my authority started. My operation is I pull a step debt, and I pretty much travel all over, going into the provinces and Canada and all that good stuff. But I'm in the process of, like I say, the finishing stages of branching out of my own authority. I'm very excited about doing that. And what I've been doing within the last maybe 6 months, I've been doing a broker list for the agents who I deal with now. When they put me in contact, I book a load through the agents, and then they give me the rate confirmation sheet or the paper. They also give me that broker's info. So what I've been doing is making myself a list of who's the broker, what that customer is, what that commodity I'm pulling out for that customer, and I'm thinking, you know, once I make this transition, if I'm dealing with that broker, I can just establish a relationship with that broker directly and cut out that middleman or that agent and go to that broker directly. And I've been making some good contacts, and I've been getting good feedback on that. They tell me, yeah, that's not a problem. Just give us a call, and we'll set me up with a package and all that good stuff, and when I'm ready to get rock and rolling. But my question is, besides those brokers there, because I know it's all about the brokers that is willing to credit rating, that's willing to pay their bills, and I know there's a lot of brokers out there that is not on the up and up. So my question is, with all the different load boards out there, like Trucker's Edge, 123, Transcor, and all that, do all those loads pretty much, all the load boards pretty much the same? How you pick the best load board if you want to look at a load board and get some loads off a load board? Which one, the best one, or pretty much all of them post on all these load boards, all these loads on the same load board? You understand what I'm trying to say? Is it one better than another?
Are you a group member of the Rate Per Mile on the Rate Per Mile Masters Facebook page?
I am. I just is this Mr. Rico?
This is Rico.
Yeah, I think I think we was corresponding maybe a couple of days ago, and I think I signed up, and I think the gentleman named Chad,
Chad's on the line too. Say hi, Chad.
Hey there. He's asking a pretty good question.
Yeah, so he got a lot there. I want to unpack it here in just a second.
So I think I am, because I think Chad responded back to me and said I was accepted to be in a rate per mile. I joined the group.
Right. Well, there's a link. The reason I asked that, there's a link that that we have. Chad
uh-huh.
has been posting that link. Chad, I don't know if you want if you had a chance, maybe might be a good time to repost that link inside of the Rate for Mile Masters page. Right now, we're developing a relationship with DAT, and so we're a little bit impartial. But we're gonna tell you, we're gonna try to give you the straight dope as far as the low boys are concerned. We are a little biased. I'll just give a full disclosure on that. But for my money, and before we even started developing a relationship with DAT, I was using TransCore's system from the very beginning anyway. Now, I have used Internet Truck Stop. Internet Truck Stop is okay. I didn't like the look and feel of Internet Truck Stop, so I went back to TransCore 360, which is DAT. They kind of trying to get their marketing together, and now they're just trying to go under one name, which is DAT, I believe.
Okay.
But DAT actually owns GetLoaded.com. They actually own all those other, you know, Truckers Edge and all that stuff. All that falls under DAT, they own. Our DAT is the biggest load board there is. Whenever you go into truck stops and you see the load boards and stuff, that's DAT. They are the biggest ones in the game. They have, to me, the best information that is available out there. There are different tier levels of service that DAT offers. But through the link that we have from DAT right now, you can get 30 days free. Is that right, Chad?
Yes, sir.
So if you use the link that we have, you can get 30 days free. Once you get your authority up and running, you can get 30 days free, and so they can get you set up with that. Now,
okay.
Back to your other part about, I want to make sure that you understand, you were talking about that you were getting ready to get your own authority and that you were making a list of the brokers and trying to cut out the middleman. Well, the middleman is that broker, just so that you know. So
right, right.
What I would advise you doing, well, what I would do is I would be making a list of where I'm picking up from, the contacts at the places where I'm picking up from, and I would be trying to talk to those people directly. I wouldn't even try to talk to the broker. I'd be trying to talk to those people directly.
I get what you're saying. Direct shipping.
Right. You go direct ship. Now, the only thing that you got to be prepared for when you get ready to go out and get your own authority, a lot of times, you know, you got to be prepared monetarily to be able to withstand 30 days on getting your money. Sometimes you may be able to negotiate and get that cut down, but worst case scenario, you need to be prepared to be able to float 30 days out before you start seeing a paycheck after you pull a load. That's one of the conundrums that you run into when you get your own authority and when you're dealing with direct customers. You're going to have to wait a little while to get your money. Sometimes some brokers, unless you got a factoring company or something like that, that may be able to expedite, you know, being able to cash in your receivables. But just want to make sure that you understand that broker that you were speaking about as far as cutting out the middleman, actually you're going directly to the middleman. The only way you're going to cut that middleman out is going directly to that shipper.
Well, let me clarify a little bit. Okay, like right now I'm currently leasing Landstar. And what I'm saying, cut out the middleman, is I may look on my DCO board and call, you know, the Landstar agent up per his agent code. And then there's been a lot of times, you know, that agent, once you call that agent up, he'll say, hey, let me call and check the availability of that load, get back with you. Well, in the process of doing that, I know that agent, based on that agent, sometimes that I dealt with another broker, because I've
right.
had
they,
I
they
had
co-
that agent.
They're doing a co-brokering.
Right. So that's why I'm saying cut out the middleman as far as going, not cutting out the original broker. I know that broker, the original broker got that customer, got the shipper. But I guess basically what I'm trying to say, I cut out, eliminate the Landstar agent and going directly to the broker, because I know when that Landstar agent involved, they're going to get their cut, and Landstar going to get their cut. So I'm making a list of that, who that agent contacts to get that load through. So I know So I know I'm not cutting out the original broker, but I'm bypassing.
I see what you're saying. You got about three or four different hands pulling at your pocket. I see what you're saying. But once again, what I'm saying is, especially right now, I can't stress this part enough. Shippers are looking for carriers. They dealing with brokers because the brokers are coming in and telling them that they can provide capacity. But most shippers, and you say you're on a step deck, right?
Right.
So when you riding, say if you're in your personal vehicle and you riding in an industrial park, when you riding through an industrial park, you can tell who's shipping on a step deck, can't you? So those customers are, I mean, the flatbed and step deck freight is some of the most obvious freight that there is out there. So you can go, you know, while you're riding by something like that, those are places that you might need to be stopping in and giving your business card to and talking to directly. Brokers are a valuable resource to motor carriers. I'm not trying to bash brokers. I'm not trying to give brokers down the country because I also broker some freight as well. But you have a tremendous opportunity right now with the capacity being what it is to go in and speak directly to the customer. We have to, we were talking a little bit earlier, we have to, if we want to see premium returns on our efforts and on our work, we got to go in and market ourselves. We got to go in and educate our customers. You know, at the end of the day, our customers, whoever it is, is cutting us a paycheck. That's your customer. But it's better for you in the long run to go directly and deal directly with the shipper versus having anyone else in between you and your money. And that's all. And that's what a broker is. I mean, a broker is going to get paid a commission. So I'm just really imploring a lot of us to be proactive and going out there and trying to establish directly with a shipper versus going the traditional route and being lazy and just saying, well, I'm just going to call this broker and get this load. Sometimes it's a little too easy, and we gotta come out of our comfort zone and be more aggressive and go direct and deal with people. You know, going and introduce ourselves and tell them what we have to offer, and so therefore we can get paid what we want to get paid. Chad, you got something you want to add to that?
Yes, sir. As soon as I find my internet cube, I'll post that link. I'm out in my truck right now, but I'll post that link that Rico was talking about as far as getting on the Trucker's Edge. Trucker's Edge is the lowest form of DAT, the lowest as much as like 30. You could start a plan off at $34.95, I believe, and the first 30 days is free, and you could also pay, I think it goes up to like $49, I believe, $49.95, and you can also get their rate index, and yes, they are the largest load board. And with that, I'd like to remind anyone else that's listening to this, is if you sign up under that promo code, it's important to use the promo code to get maybe to get the 30 days free. I've heard of people being able to call them up and negotiate the 30 days free. But also what you get with that promo code by using it is that I'm going to get a list of those people, that the companies that use that, that promo code, and I'm going to contact each and every one of those and spend some time with them and trying to help them get to their first load on booking their first load. Which is the best load board? There's another site called PostEverywhere.net, I believe, and I've used it, and they'll give you 30 days free or 2 weeks free or something like that. And I've used that, and I used it for like 2 or 3 days. I wanted to test it out to see if it really worked. And my whole thing is I want to generate phone calls. Which load board is going to generate phone calls? And this PostEverywhere website that I'm telling you about, I used it. I posted my truck and received no phone calls. And what it does, it posts like to all these other load boards that you can post for free to, and you pay them a certain amount of money, and it's one place, you post one place, and it'll post all these other load boards. I did that out of Kentucky, and I received no phone calls. I did it out of places that were good, like Tennessee at the time. It was showing some really good numbers. Posted my truck there, received zero phone calls. And then took that down, and like a few hours later, posted on DAT. Phone starts ringing, like always. And so, and internet truck stop's not bad, and they got some useful tools that you can use. As far as anything else other than those two, I don't waste my time with. I really don't even use internet truck stop that much, but I like, it's got a program on there that'll tell you on your route where's the cheapest place to get fuel if you pay a little bit more with them. I like it, and there's a few other things I like, but as far as generating phone calls, DAT, Trucker's Edge, that's what's going to do it for you.
Okay. Well, good deal then. I've been checking out something with doing monitoring. Are y'all familiar with this thing called LinkedIn?
Yes, sir.
And
we've been talking a lot about LinkedIn as well. That's another good source to get to try and reach directly to customers.
Right. I think I'm going to do a subscription to that to actually to do more.
No, LinkedIn, they have several different ones. I haven't paid for LinkedIn. I'm just using the free service.
Right.
I know that there's some different features to the free one. I'm not 100% sure if it's worth paying for. I think that if once you start to begin the networking, you join some of the groups on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn also has groups, just like Facebook has groups, LinkedIn has groups. And those groups can be valuable resources, and you have industry experts and leaders that are within those groups. And if you start, and it's just like anything else with building relationships, the more you interact with people, the more you can kind of contribute or reply to something that they may post or whatever, and you have a little bit of give and take, the more familiar that they become with you and that you become with them. And then, you know, it kind of spawns a natural progression, and therefore you can start to begin, you know, after you've had a few interactions or whatever, you can kind of send them offer to connect, and it kind of just snowballs from there. And it's kind of like the old school way of developing the relationships and everything. So I think that's the way to my opinion. You know, someone else may come on and may have more experience with using the paid for service. I just there are so many things that are out here that we spend money on. Building relationships is something that I never really had to pay for. It's just something that just kind of came naturally to me. And that's something that, you know, using your own charisma and different techniques to meet with people, to interact with people, I think that may be the better route to go. That's my opinion as far versus paying on something.
Okay. I have one other question. Now, how often, like I said, I'm new to this is my first time calling in and the podcast. How often do y'all do your podcast and days I know to look forward to it?
Okay, well, we do the podcast every Wednesday night, Bruce. Every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We normally, tonight is kind of a free flow. We're kind of just letting the callers kind of rule the show tonight. But most of the time we're trying to organize it the way we have guests. We have an owner and a CEO of a major Canadian trucking company that is one of our monthly guests. We have other contributors. We're working on having a transportation attorney that's going to be joining us monthly as well. But we have, so, you know, we got a couple of different resources that we're trying to tap into and bring available for everybody that's calling in and participating on the podcast. And a lot of people, with the podcast format, you know, it's a live call-in format like it is tonight, but also after the show is over with, we'll send out links where you can download the podcast and re-listen to previous episodes. So it's always there. It's always there, so you can go back and listen to all the previous episodes. Last week we had on Chuck Snow, the CEO of Traffix, that the Canadian trucking company and brokerage company that I was talking about earlier. The week before that, we had on Dale Howard, who was a former CVSA. He's a former CVSA officer in the Canadian province, and we were talking about CSA scores, and we were and kind of relating that to how that affects your rates and so on and so forth. And just you know, we try to deliver as much information as we possibly can back to the group. So does that answer your question? Does it get you where you need to be?
It will. And I can always use this phone number that I called in on. That will be the primary number.
Yes, sir. That's the number to call in for the podcast. And we'll post, like I said, if you're on Facebook and everything, you're in the groups, we'll post links to tonight's show, and you can just follow that link back if you got an iPhone or if you got an Android. If iPhone, of course, you go to the iTunes store and look for podcasts and look for Kevin Rutherford, and that should bring up the Audio Road podcast, and you can go back and download previous episodes. If you have an Android phone, you can go to the one that I like on the Android-based system is Podcast Addicts. Podcast Addicts. You can go and download Podcast Addict, and you can find all of the podcasts are also available on there, and it'll automatically download for you on the Android-based system as well.
Now, when I did that, it brought up a lot of, I think, old episode of Kevin Rutherford. Is that the one, or is it a different?
Yes, sir. That's the one you want to look for, because we are operating under Kevin Rutherford's account. This is Kevin Rutherford. Like when you heard the intro, I don't know if you heard the intro at the beginning of the show, but this is Kevin Rutherford's platform. He's allowing us to use his platform to deliver this information back to his audience, and we're also growing, trying to help grow it. So that's why if you're looking for my name, it probably won't pop up. But look for Kevin Rutherford, the Audio Road, and all those different podcasts that pop up. We've been doing these Racing Lane podcasts now for about 2.5-3 months. Is that right, Chad? Somewhere in that ballpark? I think we may have lost Chad.
No, I'm sorry. I had my phone on mute. I didn't want me looking for this internet cube to make racket sounds. Yeah, it's been the group's been going on right at 4 months, and like a month after that. So yeah, we're right at 3 months.
Okay, good deal then. Well, that's all I had. I guess I sit back and listen to the show.
Thank you,
gentlemen, for
your help.
All right,
Bruce.
Yeah,
all right, Bruce.
I want to let him know that if you do use that link and you go through Trucker's Edge, also send me. My name's Chad Bobby. You know who I am. Send me a message, a private message, letting me know that you did. It makes it a little easier for me to locate your company whenever I pull the list from DAT, if you don't mind. And that goes for everyone, please.
All right, we got another caller calling in from South Carolina. We're going to go to South Carolina and get John. Let's see if we can get John up. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good, Rico. How are you tonight?
I'm well. How can we help?
Well, first, I want to say thanks to you and Chad. I'm sure this is a lot of extra work on your part, and I know we all appreciate it. I listened earlier to you talking about, mailing out your rates to customers to try and get direct, or to shippers to try and get direct customers. Now, what are some of the things that you would consider when you're putting your rate together? Obviously, you have, like, detention time, and, you want to consider the question is, do you want to consider a fuel surcharge in there, or do you just want to give the customer, a flat rate for something like that? And I guess another thing would be, if you do give them a flat rate, if fuel starts rising, is there a way to compensate for that? Because you might send your rate out based on maybe $3.85 to $3.95 a gallon, and then all of a sudden fuel shoots up to $4.25. How do you compensate for something like that?
Well, John, that's a great question. I think that the best way to tackle that situation is when you sending out, you want to deal with the thing that a person is most familiar with. You don't want to kind of come with a new pricing structure. They may not be familiar with it, and whatever a person is not too familiar with, they may balk at or whatever. So until you kind of get a chance to establish a relationship, if you want to change your pricing structure, then by all means, go ahead and do what works for you, once you get your customer on board. I think the best format, in my opinion, is to go ahead and stick with the format that they are most familiar with, which is give them a flat line haul rate plus your fuel surcharge. Now, your fuel surcharge is going to be dictated. You want to put that tie that to the Department of Energy. When that report comes out every week, therefore it covers you down as far as your fuel surcharge is concerned. Do you know where to go to get that information?
Well, the website, the DOE website, is that correct?
Right.
Okay, and I guess depending on where you want to run, just look at the certain area of the country, depending on the lane you're looking at.
Right, and the best way to kind of price is to keep yourself in the market, and this is the thing that brokers do. If you've ever negotiated your own loads and stuff, I'm pretty sure you've gotten a phone call from a broker, and they've asked you, you know, what would it take for you to do this load? You know, I'm quoting a lane or something like that. And what that's called is surveying the carriers. And what they're trying to do is they're going to survey about 5 motor carriers in that particular area. And once they survey those motor carriers, they've got 5 different prices. They're going to average them out, and then they're going to tack on their commission. And that's what they take back and present to their customer. That's how they do their price structures on new lanes that they're really not familiar with.
Okay.
So as a carrier, someone that's looking to build a lane, that's the best formula to use is to survey the competition that is in that area. What are the motor carriers that are in that area pricing to move freight from that area back to whatever area that you're trying to that you want to go to? And then you can just make a really simple postcard. You can put your line haul. You can put, say, in the corner of the postcard with a picture of you standing in front of your nice shiny truck, leaning up against your truck on your postcard, and up in one of the corners, you can have etched out $1.60 per mile plus FSC, FSC and accessorials. So you want to say you want to put those, you know, put your small print up there. Everybody's familiar with small print. But what you want to do is an attempt to try to get your phone to ring. So if you put a really competitive, really good rate up there that they're not getting from the brokers or carriers in that particular marketplace, you want to get your phone to ring. And once you get the phone ring and you do the dance with a customer and you win you a couple of customers, then that opens up the door for you to go in and then, you know, start talking about all the other avenues and other value-added services that you can start adding to provide to that particular customer or whatever, you know. But you, first things first, you want to get your foot in the door and be able to secure that business.
Right, and that's I appreciate all that feedback. Now, I'm just one truck, one trailer. I have my own authority, and, you know, like Chad was saying, I'll haul anything, go anywhere. It doesn't matter to me. I'm a little reluctant at this point to start doing it because I am just one truck, and I don't want to get in a situation where maybe I have a customer and everything is good for, you know, a couple of months, and then I have a breakdown or an accident, which has already happened to me, and I was at a commission for 7 weeks. How would you deal with something like that where, you know, you're making this commitment and you want to put your best foot forward and make a good name for yourself, but now something happens and you can't hold up your end of the bargain?
Well, John, that's where having relationships come in at as well. If you don't have brokering authority yourself, you know, that may be something that you may want to look at down the road, whereas if it's your customer and if you can't service them right then why give up your entrepreneurship and give up that business and allow someone else to come in and be able to move, you know, do your service your customer? So if you had a broker authority or were even an agent for a broker, then that would give you the availability of any truck in the marketplace to go out and secure to be able to service your customer. Now, the flip side to that coin, in the meantime, in between time, if you're not quite up at that level right now, well, what if you had a broker that you really had a pretty good relationship with, and y'all drew up some type of an agreement or something, make sure you get something in writing that says that, okay, I'm not able to service my customer, but, you know, this is my customer, but I will allow you if you're not, you know what I'm saying, you got to kind of make sure that you have a really good understanding with this broker when you open this door up, because it could be kind of a Pandora's box, and they could just try to steal it right off from up under you. But, you know, maybe if you give a dog a bone and, you know, and really how would that deepen your relationship with that particular bro? Say, hey, man, this guy's bringing me business, an opportunity for business. And as a matter of fact, hey, Mr. Broker, I'm only servicing my customer on this particular lane. Now, there may be an opportunity for you to go in there and any of the other lanes that I'm not servicing is free game.
Right, and
imagine that, you know, just trying to back engineer, you know, and deepening the relationship with someone in particular, you know, if you got someone that's really been fair and equitable with you on a broker relationship side, I mean, that I think that would, you know, would really they would look at you in a totally different light. Just my opinion.
Right, and that's a great idea, and I hadn't thought about that, nor had I thought about, I want to eventually get my brokering authority, but I hadn't thought about just becoming an agent for somebody and maybe keeping that in my back pocket. That's a great idea.
Absolutely, and the guys, and those opportunities are out there without you having to go out and get that $75,000 bond yourself. But
right.
That's definitely something to put in your back pocket, like I say, and not give away your entrepreneurship, because it's hard enough to develop these customers as it is, and to just give them away to somebody else after you've done the hard work of developing them, it's not necessarily the ideal situation.
Right, and just like the brokers have in their contracts when you sign them, you know, you can't go back and solicit their customers. I guess when you work out this deal with the broker, you can put that in your contract or your agreement with them that they won't necessarily solicit that customer for that lane that you're asking them to cover should there be something that happens.
Right. And I've seen contracts drawn up to that effect that are lane specific.
Well, Rico, I appreciate it, man. You and Chad, thank you for the information. I'm going to continue listening.
No problem, John. We appreciate it. Thank you for the call. All right, Chad, look like we got another call coming in from St. Louis. Let's see, we got Denny. Denny, how can we help you tonight?
Good evening. I, in the last month, have had two load cancellations on me. One, we got confirmation. I'm leased to a carrier. We got confirmation 9:30 Friday morning, and they didn't bother to call and cancel. They sent an email at 4:30 in the afternoon, Friday afternoon, saying that the load canceled. I was supposed to pick up on Saturday, and that would be my load to run over the weekend. So I had to set all weekend because I couldn't find anything else that was half decent to carry over the weekend. The other one just happened yesterday. Booked the load. And they called back. They never did send paperwork on it. Finally, they called back, or we called and got a hold of them, and they said, well, the load canceled. I mean, the first one I was waiting for to go pick up the next day on Saturday morning. This one didn't pick up until tomorrow, but it would take me from St. Louis to Wisconsin at $3.88 a mile, and I had another load lined up there going down to Georgia, which would put me in a good position. And the first one, you know, it was about $3 a mile. Seems like
I feel where you're coming from. As far as you should have something, the standard for a truck order is called tunnel. Truck order not used is $150 is the standard. But if this is happening to you on an ongoing, if it's occurring with more regularity. And another thing that, let me say this, we're talking about DAT. I think that one of the new services that DAT is offering, and I think that everybody kind of needs to make a commitment to it. I meant to have posted this on the Rate Per Mile Masters group, and I hadn't had time to sit down and write a post about it. But DAT offers a review for brokers and carriers. Carriers can review brokers, and brokers can review vice versa. And I think that if you go in and write a review on these brokers and disclose what's happening, I think that that will begin to clean up a little bit of the negotiating process when guys are operating less than above board. Because that gives you, Chad talked about this on a previous podcast, how he went in and looked at a broker's review, you know, look at the reviews on a broker and seen that they had a history of late payments or that they had bad credit issues. Well, Chad, he's online. He can explain it to you a lot better. But just saying about using that review process and make sure that before you book loads that you are looking at the that broker's reviews and everything, not just their credit rating and everything, but to see what other carriers are saying about those brokers. I try to, I don't think that, and I want to say this part too, I think that we can't just use that as a carrot and stick of them, you know, can't just use it as a strictly a stick approach and not use the carrot part of the carrot and stick. I think that when you have a broker that does right by you and you do and does, you know, did everything and said everything was truthful and everything was like it was supposed to have been, I think that we have a responsibility to catch people doing something right and report about it. We hear too much negativity out there. I think that we have a responsibility to, you know, to try and pay it forward and to go in and write some good reviews about brokers that are doing good things the way that things are supposed to be done. And that also will help build those relationships and rapport back with those brokers if they see that, you know, that you're actually out there giving them kudos and showing them a little bit of love or whatever. But, you know, but the bad things that are out there, we have to, you know, we are in the real world, and we have to expose those things. Chad, you want to talk a little bit about that review process that you experienced?
Oh, yeah. That's a really good thing that DAT came out with, review the person that rate review. I know it's not rate. I can't remember the name of it now, but it's there on DAT. But it's a great service. You can also read the reviews of what other carriers have their experiences been. Like the one that I wrote about, or the one I read about, was a load that I was getting ready to do. This load was famous with this broker. This is like, I guess, one of the only loads he does, or companies that he works with a lot. Anyway, they were another carrier had posted that he had sat there for 5 hours, and the broker wasn't paying attention. And it was sounding like a really good broker, someone I've never done business with. I just wanted to briefly check him out, check the credit score. And when I read this, I said, "Hold on a second, we got something here about this guy saying that they waited there 5 hours and y'all didn't get paid attention." They led me to ask the broker that. The broker was a really nice guy, a nice person to talk to. We negotiated a really good deal on a low D head. But when I read, and we were getting ready to seal the deal, and when I asked him this, he said, "Oh yeah, we don't pay detention with this shit." He said the shipper doesn't pay detention, so he can't pass no detention on to the carrier. And I said, "Well, you know, that's not going to work for me." He's like, usually they'll take them about 3 hours to get you loaded. And I'm like, "Yeah, well, I'm not going to work for free. Yeah, and I'm going to get paid detention. I'm the carrier. I set the detention rate. This is my detention rate. If you can't pay it, then I'm not interested." But yeah, it saved me, and I want more people. I want a lot more people. And us small carriers, we're the ones that's going to benefit from the most. More people to contribute, write something, you know, and whether it was a good experience or a bad experience, because it lets all of us know if we should continue to deal with the person. And like Rico said, writing something good about somebody, it comes back to you, and you give and you'll receive if you do that. That's all I got.
And that, okay, and that website for DAT is DAT Directory. DAT Directory, it shows, so you can go in there. If you got a DAT account, you can go to DAT Directory and sign in under your normal login, and you can see where there's availability to write a review, read reviews, research new business partners. These are all new features that they have under DAT Directory. And if you have a DAT account, I believe the directory is open and available for everyone. that has a VAT account.
Yes.
I'm sorry,
John.
Most of the confirmations that I get copies of, they don't have anything from the broker showing detention. Once in a while, you're lucky and it does. But most of them don't. And is there some way that I could talk to my carrier and say, hey, you need to do something or add something when you sign this thing to get a notation made? If they don't use the truck, they're going to pay. If they have detention, they're going to pay.
Okay, so I kind of totally glossed over that portion. I did remember you saying that you were leased on. Actually, the carrier probably is getting a truck order not used. Whether or not they're passing any of that on to you,
time they didn't. I'm pretty square with my company I'm leased on to, and the broker said, they don't pay any truck not used. And I'm pretty sure
your carrier needs to start putting that foot down on that, especially now. There's no reason for that. And as tight as the capacity is pretty much all over the country right now, that is, your carrier is going to have to kind of get a backbone and start making sure. I'm not sure exactly what's in their contract, what they may or may not sign with that particular broker or whatever. But they need to start. They have to get a backbone. They have to force these guys to do what's right. There are terms. When they're negotiating with before they take the load, that's the time before the rate confirmation and all that stuff gets signed around. That's the time to really address all those issues as far as truck order not used, detention, so on and so forth. Layover pay. Sometimes it's when you're dealing with some people, you don't suspect that you're going to have those issues, and it's kind of trying to get down and dirty with the negotiation part of it. And sometimes people just kind of skip those steps, but those are steps that need to be, need to be make sure that you get addressed before you sign any rate confirmation to agree to do any load.
Well, the broker sends out the confirmation sheet to be signed, and in that confirmation sheet, there's no mention of any of these things. Is there some way that the carrier, which I hope to have mine in place starting first of next year, but right now I'm going through my carrier I'm leased to, can come back with a signature with these extra stipulations on it? You know, they may have talked about it, but it's not on the paper.
Absolutely, you write it. Write those things in. And worst case scenario, the stuff that you don't agree with, strike through it, initial it, and make sure that you get them to send you a signed copy back. At worst case scenario, I've had differing opinions on how. How much that may stand up, but having something showing that there was not total congruence in the contract, that there were some issues, if you have to go to court or whatever, I think having something would definitely be better than not having anything at all. But you can also create your own rate confirmation. Create your own rate confirmation and send over and get the broker to sign it and fax it back to you. Just because they send over one, what prevents you from having your own? And make sure that you have your things stipulated in there. Once you get your authority, and I may have even posted it on Rate Per Mile Masters. I posted a small two-page rule circular in the file section. You can go in there on the file section on the Facebook page and pull it up. And it addresses all of those issues as far as detention, layover, claims, all of that type of stuff is in that contract. And it's a small one, two-page contract that you can make your own, basically, put your own information in there and use that as well. Have them, you know, you fill out your information, sign it, and send it over to them and have them sign it back and have it as an addendum to the rate confirmation.
Okay. As a one truck owner, operator, carrier, and somebody doesn't pay up on truck not used or detention, you mentioned going to court. Does that have to be done in the state that you're in, or the state they're in, or the state the shipper's in? Are you familiar
depends on
with
your
any of that?
Depends on your master contract. A lot of the master contracts have what they call HOMER provisions in them. That HOMER provision says that if any legal litigation is going to be conducted, it's going to be conducted on their home turf. So it's wherever their home turf is. But I mean, as far as legal lies, you know, going to court, I don't think you're going to waste time over $150 truck order not used fee to do something like that. I think that, you know, when it comes down to something like that, those are things that you got to kind of have to take mental notes on. Like I said, utilize all tools in your war chest as far as, I mean, the only thing that basically you may be able to do is go to any association that you may have and tell them about it, and also go back to the DAT directory if you have access to that, and just kind of spread the news far and wide as far as what's been your experience with that particular broker. And once enough people start compiling that information about one particular company or whatever, then it kind of, you know, once they kind of get that scarlet letter going about them, then maybe that'll be what it takes to kind of straighten them up and getting them to fly right. Until then, you know, it's kind of like, you know, unfortunately, we kind of at the mercy of how business has always been conducted in this industry, and we're on a mission to try to change a lot of the shoddy business practices that have been going on over the past few years.
I want to add something here real quick. We've talked before, and you told me that you're trying to educate your dispatcher about a lot of this. Am I correct about that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And let me talking about going to court and stuff like this. It's good that you're thinking about this and doing a contract yourself to make them sign. That's all really good stuff to be thinking about. But I'm looking back and I'm trying to think about when have I ever not been paid for a truck order not used, and the only time that that's I can't think of any. I can't think of any time that it's ever happened. I've been for everyone that's given me a rate sheet, I've been given truck order not used. Now, there's been times where I did not receive the rate sheet. And I can only think of two times that this has happened. And those are two brokers that I no longer I use them, but they have to pay a lot of money for my service because I'm scared about doing anything at all with them. But anyway, there's been two times I did not receive the rate sheet immediately, and 30 minutes passes by, and I'm calling. I'm like, where's the rate sheet? Oh, it's coming. You know, that type of excuses. But every load that I've received a rate sheet on, and if the load got canceled, and it happens, I've always received a truck order not used. And the detention part, within the past year, maybe I didn't get paid as on every single time I've asked for detention, I didn't get paid as much as I wanted, but I came to an agreement with the broker on a set amount of detention that I wanted to get. And I've gotten paid for detention on all that stuff for the past year, and there's been times where I didn't. But anyway, those are things that you told me before about this dispatcher, these truck order not used stuff, is that if you get a rate sheet, that dispatcher should be able to get you truck order not used. Rico's talking about having a backbone. The brokers, they're not going to volunteer to pay this. I mean, some will, some won't. It's something you got to ask for, and then you got to turn around and ask them again. And you might have to ask them two or three times while you're going down the road. You're not doing anything anyway while you're driving. Why not call the broker up and say, it's been 5 minutes. I still haven't got the rate sheet with the truck order not used. 5 minutes later, do it again. You'll get that 150 truck order not used. It might have taken you 3 hours to get it, but you'll eventually get it. Like I said, I've been paid on all my truck order not used, and it hasn't been a whole lot, but I can't think of one that I did not get paid on. That's all I wanted to add to that.
All right. Well, we're going to move on. Man, Chad, we've blown through the first hour with 15 minutes in the overtime. So we're going to jump on. We're going to move on. And we got, let's see here. We have Bruce calling in from Springfield, Ohio. Bruce, how are you?
Good evening, Rico.
How you doing?
I'm fine. Good evening, Chad.
Hey, there. Good evening.
How you doing tonight?
Outstanding.
Hey, Rico, you were talking earlier to another guy by the name of Bruce, and I was between getting put on hold with my comm check and calling in to the lumber service and whatnot. I didn't hear all the conversation, but, you know, you were talking about going after and getting direct customers. And
right.
Most of us that use the load boards to get our loads are using what are spot market rates.
Exactly.
And yet guys that go in and want contract rates for like one load a week for a year, don't those rates tend to be somewhat under spot market rates because of
Well, yeah, Bruce, and when we talked last week, we had we kind of covered a little bit of this with Chuck Snow, and a lot of people are not doing the one-year contract rates. They're more along the lines of 3 months, 6 months at the very most as far as those
okay.
rates, because things are fluctuating so quickly, and it does take some time between the difference between the contract rate and the spot market, because sometimes the spot market rate will catch up to and even surpass the contract rates, where normally in previous times the contract rate has always been higher than the spot market rate.
Okay.
But you know, chasing some of the trends, and I think that's the value that if you take the free newsletters, and say if you don't want to subscribe to any of the other services that DAT offers, I don't want to pay for anything. I just want free information. Well, I think that if you sign up for the free Trendline newsletter that comes out every Wednesday, and if you start filing those Trendline newsletters as they come out and build your own kind of database over a one-year period, then I think that kind of gives you a little bit of a way to benchmark certain rates in certain areas. It may not be the most accurate or whatever, but it kind of gets you in the stratosphere. You know what I'm saying? And I think it gives you a way to kind of have a little bit of a database to go back and so you can kind of see what the trend has been over the past. If you do it over a year, say if you have that built up over a year, you can look back and see last year this is what the rates were doing, and this year so far my experience on the rates has been this. Then it kind of gives you a really good way to have empirical data versus using just anecdotal information.
Okay. Well, that's what I've been doing. That I was just thinking, you know, when you were commenting to the other Bruce that, you know, sometimes I know of a carrier who hauls a lot of meat to the West Coast from Central Kansas. And they have a contract then to bring produce back for one of the large grocery store chains. And what they've done is for the months of May through September, any load that has California either as the destination or the origin, they raise the rate like 30 cents a mile so that the shipper knows they're going to have a supply of trucks and the trucking company isn't chasing produce at the high rates because they're getting somewhere between the market rate and their contract rate. And so they are, you know, it's kind of a win-win for both. You know, they have a good rate in the off-season and they get a better rate during the summer, and the shipper gets a fair rate during the winter, and they don't have to be playing the market during the summer trying to cover their loads of produce.
Right, and I think that that's an excellent way to go out, and if you're going to service those type markets, I think that's an excellent way to be able to position your services. You know,
yeah.
But you have to have, and but in order to make that determination, you got to have that, you know, you got to have that empirical data. You got to have that data to go in and be able to show. Your job is to educate your customer. And you can't educate your customer just going in there and shooting from the hip and telling them, well, this is doing that. You, sometimes you have, you know, we talked a lot about, on this, especially on this podcast, we talked at length about building credibility files. You know, how is your credibility seen in the eye of your, how does your customer see your credibility? You know, how does he see you? And, you know, it says something about you if you go in and you come in nice, presentable, and you come in with information backing up what it is that you're saying. You're not just coming in there just talking rate trash to them. You're coming in there with actual data, with actual facts. You come in there, you got a portfolio that you've built, and you can leave that with your customer. It's not something that you want to take back with you. No, I want to leave this with you. I want you to take this and delve into it so that you can verify what it is that I'm telling you is of the gospel. You know what I'm saying? And it's not hard. In these days and times, it's really not that difficult for someone that knows where to go and where to look to get up to speed really quick on the rates and the capacity issues and everything that are going on. And furthermore, they also can appreciate if you come in there with that type of information, because if they've been shipping, and they know what it is.
Sure.
And if they know what it is, and they see that you know what it is, then you know what I'm saying? It's kind of, you know, they know that they can't, they also are not going to be able to just pull the wool over your eyes as well. And that they see that you are prepared and that you truly are a professional and someone that needs to be, you know, taken seriously at the negotiating table.
Right.
But I think that, you know, just saying that, you know, I think that doing the hard work on that part and coming in there and making sure that, you know, that we are prepared when we come to address our customers and stuff like that, I think that will go a long way. And I really want everyone to come out of, to, you know, it's difficult, and I understand it because I struggle with it myself. I'm not just trying to tell you guys to do stuff that I'm not trying to do myself. And it does get difficult. It, you know, it's difficult direct, you know, going out and talking to direct customers and stuff. And sometimes it gets to be a little bit intimidating because, you know, you may be saying, man, I'm just this one truck operation. What can I, you know, but you got to conquer the fear that you have and just, you know, you got to go out there and do something to separate yourself. And, you know, at the end of the day, if it's not going to kill you, it's just going to make you stronger. Suck it up.
Yeah.
Do what you got to do, and get in. You know, go get your hands dirty, man.
Would it be? There's one of the guys. I think it's on the. And I was Rain for Mile Masters, but one of the groups. A guy by the name of George. Is it George Heck from New York?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. George is tremendous at that.
Yeah, I mean that was his first business. Where he was a sales rep for some company. For quite a while, and I would like to at some point maybe hear a half hour or a couple different, you know, ways he's mastered that art, because it seems like following him on Facebook, he's always in the right place at the right time to get the next good customer.
George, George came on with us, and I need to probably reach back out to George and have him back on the podcast again. George did a podcast with us, one of the very first ones, I think, and he shared a lot of information on there. But the main thing that George, you know, to kind of give you the Cliff Notes version, is back to the main thing that we harp on is relationships. A lot of George's lows comes from relationships that he's built over. His career as a salesperson, as an LTL salesperson, the people that he knows, and the main thing that George will tell you, and George is very approachable and you know, one heck of a guy. He'll you know, share information with you, but the main thing that he'll tell you is, you know, you got to get out there and meet people. You got to meet people. You got to go knock on doors. Nothing beats, you know, just that toe-to-toe, belly-button-to-belly-button interaction with your customer. Finding out what it is that they need, and being able to do what other people don't want to do. That's really what George is, you know, that's really his stick. He's willing to do things that nobody else is willing to do. And because he's willing to do that, he charges and receives a premium for it, which is one heck of a business model.
Yeah, I don't even think George uses a load board.
Very seldom. I think George has been in business maybe 3 years or something like that on his own authority, and I think he's maybe only pulled 3 or 4 brokered loads.
Wow. We've talked about the load board. I've talked to him about the load board, and I'm just amazed that he doesn't pull up the load board and see where the loads are or post his stuff. And he makes great money doing what he does, and it's all direct shipper stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. George is a one heck of a guy. I'm gonna reach back out to George and see if we can't schedule him and get George back on the podcast. Maybe coming up soon, and maybe delve into some more things about getting these direct customers and stuff like that. So, Bruce, what do you got going on today? I know we talked a little earlier as well. You headed back out to Arizona?
No, I'm actually, I unloaded in Springfield, Ohio. I picked up a 2-dropper from Kansas City to Shepherdsville, Kentucky, and then finished in Springfield, Ohio. And now I'm driving 20 miles down into Dayton, going to pick up a load going to Indianapolis, a 100-mile load for $800. So deliver that. Load it tomorrow, deliver it Friday, and then, I don't know, probably try to find a load going west for the weekend then.
You say you're going into Dayton, Ohio?
I'm going to load in Dayton, in a suburb of Dayton. I'm just 20, 30 minutes from where I unloaded over there, so.
Okay. Well, it looks like Arizona's starting to pick up.
Well, it's been fairly good ever since Christmas. I've been, you know, doing fairly decent pulling out of Nogales, and, you know, the rates fluctuate a couple hundred dollars from 1 week to the next, but by and large it's been pretty decent. It's getting freight going west that's always been the Achilles heel for me, and I had the same load I'd been hauling for $2,000, another broker called me and offered me $2,600 on it, so I took it. But that's been a month ago, and he hasn't gotten any more loads from this same shipper. So I talked to him the other day, and he said, "Well, I think the other carrier that has lower rates is sewing them all up now because they want to get their trucks back out west." So he said, "I'm not getting very many of them right now, but hopefully when things slow down, I'll be able to get back in with him and maybe try to get little better rates on westbound freight."
Okay, well, where you sitting at tomorrow? Or up in Dayton area, the market is not too bad. Not really that shabby up there. I'm showing a 5-to-1 load to truck ratio coming out of that Columbus market up there.
Yeah, like I say, I got $800 for a 100-mile load, and it's 15,000 pounds. So, you know, maybe I could have got 1,000, but I figured up my miles so far for this month and my total revenue. And when I deliver Friday morning, I'll have $20,000 revenue on just over 8,000 miles of driving, which is $230, $240 a mile somewhere in there for, you know, running out to Arizona and back where there tends to be a lot of deadhead on some of the loads from, like, Phoenix to Nogales. It's 185 miles down there to pick up the next load.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm pretty happy with that. I know Chad's doing better, but he's running, you know, different freight lanes than what I am too, though.
I think your rates are great. Yeah, I like your rates a lot.
Well, I picked up one on Saturday. Last week I was down in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and broker called me, posted my truck the night before, and I just barely woke up, and brokers were calling wanting to sew my truck up, and this guy had a load of car parts from El Paso to Kansas City, Missouri, and it was 8 pallets with a grand total weight of 1,500 pounds, of which 1,100 of it was pallet weight. They were in, it was plastic, it was aluminum tubes for air conditioners that were going to Ford Motor Company. And he offered it to me at $2,500. I said, no, I'm not interested. And he says, would you do 28? And I said, no. He goes, well, what would it take? And I just shot a number, $3,500. He goes, well, all I can pay is $3,300. And I said, well, I guess that's all you can pay, but you're not getting my truck. And he goes, would $3,500 sew it up? I said, yeah, that's what I told you. And he goes, all right, put me down for $3,500. So, you know, it was obviously a shipment that had to get out over the weekend. And, you know, I don't know if that's a good rate, bad rate, or what, but it was one of them loads where I made 7.5 miles to the gallon on a truck that only makes 6.5. So, it, you know, it was nice once to have a light load that wasn't, you know, didn't just burn a lot of fuel getting it from point A to point B.
Yes, sir. Right place, right time is always a good thing.
But, you know, go ahead, Chad.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, but you sticking to your rate, too, that's good stuff. I like that.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed here this week, the minute I post my truck, I'm getting numerous phone calls from brokers wanting to know if my truck is still available. I mean, there must be a shortage of trucks in certain markets, because other times you post your truck, and if it's a dead market, you can wait all day for the phone to ring.
Yeah, I'm looking at the market map as we speak, Bruce, and it's you know, the United States, as far as reefers are concerned, it's still fairly, the entire United States is still fairly dark blue, which dark blue is an indicator of how good the capacity is, well, as far as the load density, rather, not necessarily the capacity, but it's showing that there's a lot of loads available. As far as flatbeds and even dry vans and reefers, everything is in the darker colors. It's not, the map is not that light. So,
yeah.
Which is a good thing for us, but the number one thing, like we talk about all the time as far as being in the rates, especially on the spot market, is knowing what the market is where you are. Once you know the availability and the demand in that market, you got to be able to stick to your guns and hold out for that higher rate. And I think that you just gave everyone that's listening an excellent example of knowing what the demand is in a particular area and being able to hold out to get that rate that you want.
Well, see, the reason I asked for that rate in El Paso is because I'd had a produce broker tell me the day before that Friday and Saturday he was getting $4 a mile for onions and watermelons coming out of New Mexico going to points all around the country. And I had that in the back of my mind. And when this guy said 1,500 pounds and, you know, and it's a non-refrigerated load and it was light and everything, I thought, well, you know, for that kind of, if he'll take that kind of money, I'll definitely, you know, haul it for that. And I had called that broker earlier in the morning to see if he had anything going on, and he hadn't gotten his orders yet, so I thought, well, you know, I've been burned like that too, so I decided a bird in the hand is better than two sitting in a bush. And
you got that right.
Took the load that was the sure thing, you know.
Right, so. Right. All right, well, Bruce, we're going to get ready to move on. We got another caller calling in right now from Atlanta. We're going to jump over there. Anything else you're going to add tonight, or anything else you got?
Well, I'm just going to say I'm having to run hard because 2 weeks from this Saturday, my daughter's getting married, and so I gotta have all the money I can stored up to pay for that wedding. So there's a reason why I'm liking these better rates this time of year, because it's making that wedding not look quite so, you know, onerous for me.
Well, Bruce, congratulations, man.
Yep.
Congratulations to you and your daughter and your wife. Man, go out there and cut a rug for us at the reception.
Well, I'll send you pictures. How does that sound?
That sounds good, buddy. Be safe out there.
All right. Well, take care, guys.
All right. Chad, we got maybe one of our last callers for tonight. Let's see here. We got Brandon calling in from Atlanta. Wants to talk about direct shippers. Hey, Brandon, how can we help?
How you doing, Rico? I've talked to you a couple times on Facebook. And I wanted to ask you a couple questions about dealing with direct broke or direct freight. My wife and I are doing the, running our company, and you know, just one truck, one trailer right now, and just trying to figure out how we can get in, in with more direct companies. Like, we have one, we've only been doing this since February, but we got one customer we called a load out of Fort Valley up to Louisville. I'm actually doing the second leg of that, going to New York right now, going to Johnsville, New York. So I'm actually curious about the rates out of there also, But just trying to figure out how we can expand, into getting into more freight.
What you want to do as far as direct freight, you definitely want to try to target potential shippers. You know, eliminate the prospects from the suspects. So you want to, look at shippers that are, you don't want to look at the mega shippers, because you're not going to be big enough to service them. They're not even going to probably entertain your solicitations. You want to look at smaller, maybe more boutique-type shippers that don't have, that the big guys are kind of, they may ship some of their stuff, but they're not high on their priority list. See, the big guys, they want the volume versus the one, the one customer that may only ship twice a week or something like that. Whereas if you have your dumbbell set up, if you got a customer that only ships twice a week, that may be an ideal customer for you, because you maybe only be able to handle them twice a week, if you're going somewhere and coming right back. So you want to try to seek out those particular type shippers, those are the guys that you definitely want to try to seek out first. And like I was just saying, you want to go in there and put your best foot forward. Talk about your safety record. You want to talk about your safety record. You want to talk about anything that's good. You want to build yourself up. You know what I'm saying? You don't necessarily want to go in there and talk about yourself to your potential customer. That's why I'm saying have your credibility package. That's something that you may want to leave the information about yourself. But while you are talking to your customer, you really don't want to talk about yourself at all. You want to find out as much information as you can about your customer. What is it that they're having problems with? What is it that they – where is the issues that they are having with anybody else? Because what you want to do is you basically want to come in and be a problem solver. And if you can come in and be a problem solver to your potential customers, then you're a godsend.
And I think that's where we are with one customer that we have right now. They have longer runs for their produce that's coming out of Fort Valley right now, but there's a lot of people that don't want to do it. They want to do the short run that they can come back the next day. It's like, if I could figure out how to be back down there, like if I could have been back down there tomorrow after I dropped today, that would have been great, because he would have given me another run going right back up there, 569 miles for $2,200. I think that's good money to me. Maybe it's a little off, but, that's right around $3 a mile. And, we're taking a load to Johnstown, New York now, and I have no clue if I'm going to be able to get anything out of there. But it's another load that's paying good money. I'm putting $2,800 on 779 miles, I believe it was. The rates aren't bad. It's just, what's going to be next? I'd like a little more predictability in my life. I guess I'm not quite a go-anywhere type of guy yet.
Well, yeah, like I said, that's the other beautiful thing about, having your own authority, too. You are the master of your own destiny. And you can determine, if you want to go somewhere and come directly back. It kind of helps build it, and that's the other thing that you can promote to your potential customer as far as the availability. Like I was saying, if they're only shipping two or three loads a week, you can kind of coordinate. You guys can work together and coordinate with those shipments, and then once you say, like, for instance, you tell your customer if you're going to address what their problem is. So if they, so if you allow their, so if you allow your customer to build your dumbbell out for, you know, we'll use that scenario. So if your customer is out of, based out of Atlanta and it's going to Dallas, then you want to start, if that's where the load, if that's where the lane running to back and forth between Atlanta and Dallas, then okay, you already got one customer established in Atlanta. Now while you're in Dallas, you know, start working on a customer over there in Dallas that that fits that same kind of criteria to get you back to Atlanta to kind of give you that, you know, to try and give you that reliability. And the other thing to start with is start with the two people that you're already dealing with. Start with your direct shipper. Does your direct shipper that you now have in Atlanta, do they have any inbound freight that's coming out of the Dallas market back to them? Start with that first, and if they don't, then what about the person that you're delivering to in Dallas? If that person that you're delivering to in Dallas, do they have exploit that contact? Do they have anything that's coming back to Atlanta? And, you know, and just begin working that and, you know, putting bugs in people's ears. And if they don't, if those two particular ones don't, then they are in the shipping community. So they may know other people. You can get recommendations. Well, do you know of anybody? You know, take it to a next, to the next logical conclusion. Do you know of anybody in the, you know, in this area that, that has stuff that's going back to Atlanta or whatever that I might be able to talk to? You know, and get a recommendation. You know, ask them. You know, do you mind if you don't mind? You know, are you satisfied with the service that I've been delivering to you? You know, and if you get an answer to the affirmative, maybe see if they'll write a you know, write a glowing review for you or whatever. Something that you can have that you can add to your credibility kit again. Something that you can take back and, you know, and put another feather in your cap so that you can go back and promote yourself with. When you, and it also serves as something else that you can go when you're talking to your next potential customer. These are what my customers are already saying about me.
And then if you did have any information on availability up in John area.
I'm sorry, you broke up on me a little bit. Where are you looking for?
What's the capacity, I guess,
or
availability in the Johnstown, New York area?
Johnstown, New York?
Johnstown.
Johnstown, New York. All right, give me a second. Let me look. Where are you looking to go? Uh-oh, are you there?
I've lost him.
Yeah, it looks like Brandon dropped. All right, Brandon, I pulled up Johnstown, New York. Let's see here. And I don't know what type of equipment that you had. I don't know if you had a drive-in or a reefer. But for drive-ins, I'm showing a 2-to-1 ratio, not that good for drive-ins. Flatbeds are showing an 8.7 load-to-truck ratio. And in reefers, I'm showing a 3.6 load-to-truck ratio. None of those are really nothing to really get excited about other than the flatbed segment. So it's going to be a little tight on any of the other segments out of that area in particular as far as the load-to-truck ratios are concerned, as far as the information that I'm showing. Well, Chad, looks like we wrapped up. We about wrapped up another one.
Yeah, all right. Well, I was gonna say also for quoting loads up to the Northeast, you know, a lot of those states are doesn't never perform well as far as getting freight out of when it comes to drive-in. But what I do, a tool that I use or something that I try to do is I run the miles wherever it's going to. So you said Johnstown, New York, maybe Virginia, it starts getting good, maybe around Richmond, Virginia. If you run the miles from where it's delivering to and your miles to Richmond, Virginia, you can throw that in there. At least you know that if you did head it all the way to Richmond, Virginia, rates would start getting better. Just a small hint there on that.
Cool beans. Well, Chad, you got any closing remarks?
No, enjoy the podcast tonight. And it always seems to go fast, and I know we stayed on here a little bit longer than we normally do. Go to the Facebook group page and Rape for Mile Masters, and there's a lot of communication going on there. If you are listening to the podcast and you got some more questions that you didn't get to answer on the podcast, you can go there, ask your question, and you'll get a ton of response there from brokers and other carriers on whatever question you have. That'd be all I have for this podcast.
All right, cool beans. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Rico Muhammad filling in for this is the Rape and Lanes podcast. We are covering, usually we cover down on Wednesday nights for Kevin Rutherford, and we deal strictly with rapes and lanes here on this particular podcast. I think Kevin is going to be having a bonus hour tomorrow night. I'm not 100% sure of that yet. But if you want more information about Kevin Rutherford's show coming up tomorrow, start following him on Twitter. Kevin Rutherford is now on Twitter. I think it's Kevin on XM on Twitter. I'll have to double-check that. But once we wrap this one up tonight, we'll be posting links up on my page. Also, we'll be posting links up on the Rape Per Mile Masters group, Facebook page. And so with that said, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate all your participation tonight. Future guests for the podcast, we're still working on trying to catch up with attorney Henry Seaton for a future podcast. We want to try to make that another regular occurrence. And that's pretty much about all I have for the night. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, this is Rico Muhammad once again signing off live from Atlanta, Georgia, reminding you to be safe, be profitable, and do the hard work and master the journey. Good night, everyone.